And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And this is the What's Up Phoenix show starring Chris Gray. And Chris, we're real excited because we are issuing and awarding another Standard of Excellence Award to the most incredible law firm I've ever witnessed. And of course, you know, I'm a CPA. I've been in the business 30 years. I've dealt with all sorts of attorneys. And this law firm is phenomenal. And Chris, let's welcome Executive Director Carol Spivey. Carol, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Dave.
And, of course, one of the partners, Jeffrey Burnick, welcome to the show. You've been on the show many times.
I have, Dave. Thanks for having me again.
Absolutely. So this is really exciting for me because it's rare to see someone, a firm, really demonstrate excellence in so many areas, and especially innovation. When you think of a law firm or a CPA firm, you know, there's certain stereotype, but you have really redefined the perception, I believe, of the industry, and that's one of the criteria. So I'm going to say that, you know, the first four things we looked at as the radio show giving this award is integrity throughout the organization, consistency in performing excellence, attitude of uplifting, motivating, and inspiring others, and also the word new, which means really present moment thinking. Being in the present moment, every day is new, fresh, and promising. That's how you treat your clients, and that is why you guys won the award. Let's start with Jeffrey. Jeff, I mean, you know, sometimes at working as an attorney, you know, you just do what comes naturally, but you have all these qualities as a person and as a firm.
Well, first of all, Dave, thanks. It's really humbling to be on the receiving end of this, and we really appreciate your giving it to us and your kind words about us. I've been at the firm 21 years. We have, in the last couple of years, really made a conscious effort to be different and to adapt to the times. We've formed a leadership council, which encompasses a couple generations of partners at the firm, and really are open to trying to provide legal services, which is the number one thing any law firm does, but really fostering relationships as we go as well.
You know, that's so important, and it really shows a long-term thinking approach, because you have to have long-term thinking to set the pathways for excellence for everyone and anyone that comes into your organization. And Carol, as executive director, you're in the middle of all this. You're right in the thick of the action. How do you really handle everything that's going on with all the growth?
Well, the last 2 years have really been a growth period for the firm, a little bit against what the general thinking would be in our current economy, but the firm has decided to look at this as an opportunity to add practice areas that could serve our clients both in the current economy and as things turn around. And with that, of course, we've done a lot of hiring. We've actually doubled the size of the firm with regard to the number of attorneys, which means that the number of staff has grown considerably as well. So they're, I think in the industry right now, hiring in the legal community is low, and we've been able to help the community by adding jobs. And with that, of course, we have a lot of new personalities and integrating them into the firm. And something like this award really helps us show our employees how different we want to be and that we want them on board for this journey.
And it's well deserved. I mean, what's really impressive to me with economy, you know, definitely the last 3-4 years really taking a turn downward, a lot of law firms shrinking, a lot of businesses shrinking in general or disappearing, but you're growing. And that's just amazing credit to you guys. And it really shows the collective mindset. And one thing you did, I believe, if you want to talk a little bit about it, you really hired an outside consultant, a psychologist. Is that what you would call Dr. Cleve, an industrial psychologist?
Dr. Cleve Stevens, he's a PhD in industrial psychologist, and he comes into an organization and evaluates it and looks at opportunities for the individual leaders to actually lead. He's a leadership consultant, not a management consultant. So we've had many workshops, and the partners have taken time out of their busy schedule, because they're dedicated to this, to really go through this process and become leaders at all levels in the organization.
So I really like that, Jeffrey, about versus a management consultant versus a leadership consultant. It's a much higher level. Jeffrey, what has this done for you and some of your partners to have some additional concepts, probably things you didn't learn in law school, however valuable things to build a company?
Well, Dr. Stevens has been called a lot of different things over the last year at our firm by a lot of different people. But for me personally, it's really been an opportunity that I've taken advantage of. I mean, I went into it looking at it as the idea of, well, I'll probably be able to benefit personally from this process, because it really and it's challenging and painful in a number of different ways, but it makes you look at how you process information, why you react to certain situations the way you do, based on who you are and what your life experiences have been. And then it sort of gives you an idea going forward how to deal with the different kinds of filters that each one of us has. So I looked at it on the one hand that I knew I could benefit personally from it in my family life and my business, and whatever benefit the group got was just sort of icing on the cake for me. And the reality has been is, the group has benefited it a lot from it. It's given us a forum to talk about a lot of issues that, have always been there, but we just didn't have a structure in which to have a meaningful dialogue about certain things. And Dr. Stevens has provided us a vehicle for that.
Well, one of the things that we have done as a part of this process, not only the partners have been involved, but also the associate attorneys, and we've developed a vision statement. Many corporations and organizations come up with a mission statement, but our vision statement it's composed of three parts: more the vision of the organization, what it will look like, the vision of the impact we'll have on the legal community, and then the vision of the impact we will have on our local community, such as charitable organizations, the foundation that the firm has started, and that sort of thing. So it really gave us a lot of times long-range planning is really just about the business side of things, how much income you're going to achieve over a period of time. Obviously, there's a component of that, certainly, but this is also really about what we bring forth as leaders in our community and in our organization.
What does your practice specialize in?
Well, the firm really, I would consider it a full-service law firm. We've got over 30 lawyers. We do just about everything. We have a large transactional and banking practice. We have an employment practice. We have a zoning practice, environmental practice. So it's really a broad-based practice, and probably among the larger firms that is kind of mostly Arizona only law firm.
It's amazing though, Carol, what you said about really the vision for the organization, for the legal community, and also for the community itself as far as foundations, charities, and so on. And I think that's such a great way to be, expanding beyond just business, because if you look at it, the ultimate goal is to help people, and there's many ways now you're helping people, not just through the legal services, but perhaps by helping charities and so on. And I think that's a real credit to what you're doing. Let me ask you this. How has some of the employees and the associates taken this new approach? And I think really what I'm getting at is you really redefine the perception of the industry. And that's what makes you the leader, I believe, in your industry. You've redefined certain things at what attorneys are, because everyone has certain stereotypes. CPAs do. And I never liked that. In fact, years ago, I think, Carol, I told you the story that if you – oh, I hear an alarm clock.
That's a pacemaker.
Oh, no. I have one of those, too. Do you have an iPhone? I have an iPhone.
I have an iPhone as well.
Yeah. Anyway, what I always thought is that you want to break through stereotypes. And the certain industries have stereotypes that maybe not as flattering to that you want. And CPAs, what if I mention the word CPA, you're going to mention what?
Numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
Taxes.
Nerds.
Exactly. Thank you so much. But really, that's what people think. So years ago, I wanted to redefine that. And it's really easy. So other industries should take notice of this, is that what do you, who you really are is not what you do. And so many of my clients I was training or retraining that, hey, I'm a consultant. I'm an advisor. And even beyond that. And that expanded the menu because if you think about it, if they only think of CPAs as accountants, they don't think about if they need some type of strategic planning. Can a CPA do that?
Especially in this market, Dave.
I mean,
in this economy with so many people having lost houses, buying houses, you know. And it's funny, too, because all the people that lost houses, now we have this whole new segment of people buying houses who probably don't have any clue on how to financially plan for all this in case some other kind of craziness happens. So, I mean, you might want to pick up the phone and call an attorney or call your CPA and say, hey, you know, this is what I'm doing. I bought 12 houses this year. What do you think? Maybe I should, you know, get some advice.
Well, but it's expanding the menu, I call it. So let me ask Carol and Jeffrey, how did you redefine the perception of attorneys? Because that's what I believe you have done. Who wants to take a stab at that? How have you redefined the perception of attorneys?
I'm going to let Jeff take that since he is one.
Okay, Jeffrey.
That's very generous of you, Carol. Yeah. Well, I think what we have done is we have empowered especially our younger people to have a stake in their profession and to give them a chance to define who they are and what they want to be. For many, many years, as I grew up, you know, you went to work for a firm, you did whatever they told you to do, and you did it as fast as you can, and you kept your head down, and you hoped someday that they'd make you a partner and it would all pay off, and that was just sort of the mindset. At our firm, and I continue to think that it's vastly different than the majority, we really encourage our young people to develop their own practice area, to get out there and market, and to build their own name, even if it means someday that they're going to go open up their own firm, to do it for themselves and not for us. And I think that that's a different approach than most law firms have. I think most law firms look at their younger lawyers as sort of a commodity and something fungible that, hey, if this guy leaves, then we'll just replace him with someone else coming out of law school. I was fortunate to have some really good mentors through the years. And for me, I felt kind of an obligation to become that mentor. And I've been lucky enough in the last couple of years to have a couple of young lawyers come along that I had a good rapport with and was able to do that. And that's been really the most satisfying thing for me, and I think that's kind of the ultimate payoff to be able to pass that on to somebody else.
You know, and again, that's kind of the reason why you're getting the award is because, you know, some of the things you just said are true with any company. You know, the companies survive, you know, off of the new people. They come in at the lowest pay grade. They come in at the lowest commission, you know, and they're out there hustling 3-4 times harder than everybody else because they are the new person. They do, you know, they do need to make, you know, they need to work as many hours as possible because they're at the lower grade. And, you know, car sales, mortgages, Mary Kay products, whatever you're talking about, you know. So your philosophy is awesome because you don't look at it like, you know, hire this person, we need some more money, you know, bring in another paycheck.
That's really
awesome.
Developing.
It's commendable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I'm hearing, you uplift others, your employees to their highest level. And like you said, if they leave, they leave, except you're allowing them the freedom to reach their full potential. That takes to me, a group without much ego, a group that just will allow the firm to rise to the highest and best. And that's a credit. You don't find that in any industry, especially in the legal industry or the CPA industry.
And I think it makes it easier to find good people.
There's no
well, it certainly does. One of the components of our vision statement as relates to our local community also relates to the families of our employees, but the employees' families as an extension when we make a conscious effort to make a work environment that doesn't require – I mean, we have a variety of structures. People can work flex hours and that sort of thing. So we look at it as an environment that – fosters great family relationships, and
which is so important. I mean, most people have families, I suspect, in your organization. Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey, how does that impact you, as well as your colleagues, knowing that family is a high priority, and it's not just work, work, work. It's also integrating family values. Huge, I would think. In any industry.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's had a really positive impact on our work environment, both at the office and sort of out there in the community, where we've tried to instill a sense of pride so that somebody who goes to the PTA meeting or their kids play will be proud to say, hey, I work at a law firm downtown. This is what it's the name of it. This is what we do. And I think that we have succeeded in large measure in doing that. It's been interesting for me. My wife's a lawyer. We've got two high school kids. So, you know, I've had the benefit of sort of seeing what it was like for a woman to raise a family and try to maintain a legal career. And it has a number of different challenges that the guys don't face. So I'm particularly sort of sensitive to that issue and to that balance that needs to be struck, which is really different in almost every case.
You know, that's amazing. We'll take a quick break now, and this is What's Up Phoenix, Breakthrough Thinking, and we're issuing a Standard of Excellence Award to Reignauer, Heighton, and Lewis for complete excellence throughout their organization. Very impressive. We're going to go over some of the more specific criteria when we come back. So I'll have Carol and Jeffrey comment on some of this criteria, how they developed it, what does it mean to them, and we'll be right back.
Reignauer, Heighton, and Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reignauer, Heighton, and Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed Metropolitan Opera baritone Dmitri Varostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is What's Up Phoenix, starring Chris Gray. And we're excited to have in studio from Reitenauer, Heighton and Lewis, Jeffrey Burnick, a great attorney, and the executive director, Carol Spivey. We are honored to be able to award them the Standard of Excellence Award. And a little summary based on integrity, consistency, attitude, and really present moment thinking. But really, as I think about it, it's really future thinking too, knowing, bringing the future into the present, knowing how you want to develop into the firm that you're in. Now, how did you – we talked about the industrial psychologist that you have working with you, Dr. Cleve Stevens. How did you get to know Dr. Cleve? Where did that come from? I mean, how did that even enter the realm of possibility?
It was interesting. He actually had consulted with a very large organization here in the Phoenix area, Cox Cable, and one of our partners happened to be working with Cox at the time, and they felt very strongly about the success they'd achieved with him. And so the partner brought it back to our management and suggested that this might be something that we would want to do as a law firm, being innovative and growing as rapidly as we had been, which was really a big part of it, is that we were integrating a lot of different individuals into our organization. Dr. Stevens actually is an international consultant. He's all over the world. He's right in the process right now of publishing a book, and is quite an and teaches at I think it's UCLA. He's quite an expert in his field, so his credentials were great. But also to see that he had with another organization made a very big difference. The funny thing is, he has never worked with a law firm before, so I think we're a little different in our structure, and there is an experience there that he oftentimes comments on.
Yes, I bet that would be different. What is, I mean, although he's, I was going to say up for the challenge, but really a business is a business. It's just changing the culture a little bit and the environment and really thinking styles, how you think of yourself. And really expanding roles, like you said, leadership roles.
I think one of the things that he finds different is in a corporate structure, you have quite a defined hierarchy where you have a board and a CEO or a chairman and then your COO and others. In a law firm, you have partners who are all owners and they're all on site every day. So it's very different to deal with that kind of matrix environment. But developing leaders, I think, is going to be the same in any environment. It's just that you have to get them checked in to the process.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And but, you know, I've always noticed for years with your law firm how everyone seemed to get along very, very well, and there was a nice coordination from the beginning. And this just seems to enhance it. Is that what you noticed too, Jeffrey?
Well, I think so. It's funny, this experience with Dr. Stevens. There's people, partners of mine that I've known for 20 to 25 years. I came to the firm, you know, right out of law school as a young kid. And, you know, some of the people that I'm partners with now were once my boss. And it was amazing to me through this process how much I learned about people that I had been around every day for 20 plus years that I didn't know, number one, and number two, that sort of gave me an interesting lens into why they think the way they do about certain issues. And, you know, in some ways, once you learn those things, you kind of make an accommodation for people. You say, oh, that's Joe. You know, he grew up on a farm, and that's why he, you know, I know he's had these experiences, and that's why he views this way, as opposed to before this process, you'd be sort of dumbfounded thinking, why is this guy, you know, reacting like this to this particular issue? And so my thought is, you know, people who heard my story and my upbringing and what impacted and influenced me are probably thinking the same thing about what I have to say and why I behave in certain ways and react to certain situations the way I do.
You know, I think that's fantastic, because if you think about that, it so much enhances communication, because no longer are you coming from your position with your filters, with your background, But it develops more compassion. Say, well, yeah, if I was, you know, brought up that way or had those experiences, I might think that way too. That is a valuable tool.
Well, it is, and it also goes with working with clients. You know, maybe you don't know their full background, but you at least accommodate for their differences or for their point of view and perspective, and I think allows us, our lawyers, to be better counselors, business counselors for our clients.
Yeah, there's no question it really can enhance the overall service that you provide. And really, well, I'll give you a quick story in that. You know, it's interesting when you go into business, it's not just technical skills that really create success. Because I remember I came out of a large CPA firm and number 12 in the nation. And when I went out, you know, I had some people skills, neurolinguistic programming as well, and created a business around my technical skills. But it involved communication, people skills, writing skills. You know, could you develop rapport? Could you really view yourself beyond, you know, what you do and what can you give beyond your product or service? Inspiration, motivation, uplifting. And some other people that had greater experience than I did came out of that same firm. In 6 months, they couldn't get clients. They were back in the firm. And I went on to really grow a pretty big firm. So it really shows it's just not about technical skills. And that's evidently, it seems like, what is happening with Dr. Cleave.
Correct.
Yeah, good service, I think, starts with good. Well, in fact, good service I know starts with good listening. You know, if you listen to what people need, they're going to say, you know, in there also with what they want, and what they want and need is what you're going to have to provide. So, good service starts with good listening.
You know, and I would also say this: it's one of the criteria, and I said we'd get into some of the specific. The character of owners, management, and employees, and I have six of them, and I want Carol and Jeffrey to comment on this, and as well as, of course, Chris, is integrity. And I'll just list them, and then we'll go back and talk about it. But integrity, responsibility, accountability, honesty, trustworthiness, and caring. And it really starts there as well, because without a high level of integrity, you can give great service, but if you can't be trusted, I mean, what good is it? So let's talk about integrity. Jeffrey, as an attorney and as part of the management team, how big is integrity in really in every aspect of your organization?
Well, I mean, it's enormous, and it's, you know, to me, it's probably the number one for a reason. I think you have to have integrity to be successful with your clients. I think you have to have it internally to be able to manage your people. So I think without it, you're especially in a business like providing legal services, without it, you're doomed, I think, to fail. And with it, you can do anything you want.
No question. Carol, as executive director, and really from an internal standpoint, how big is integrity among everyone and coordinating? I mean, I don't want to say coordinating it because you either have it or you don't, but you seem to draw it and people have it at your organization.
What is something that we're very lucky to have the quality of both attorneys and staff that we do in our organization? We are very selective with the individuals that we bring on board. But beyond that, I think it's something that people learn through example. And so we stress it in written form as people join the firm, confidentiality, that sort of thing. But integrity and dealing with each other and honesty, it is something that you learn through. At least you can follow the example. And so the partners in our firm certainly set that example, and it's followed through all levels.
Yeah, there's no question. That's what I've noticed. I know pretty much all your attorneys, but you're growing so quickly. I don't know if I've met all of them already, but at least I would say about 25 of them, and they all have that same amazing character to them, and it's just a rarity to see that consistently everyone has that integrity. Now, some of the others that I think are really important from a client perspective is caring. The clients feel taken care of. Jeffrey, comment on that, because that's huge also from that point.
Yeah, and you know, the kind of practice that, and I can just mostly speak from my own experience. I head up our group's employment counseling and litigation practice, and we call it that for a reason, because a lot of what I do every day is counsel management on their HR issues, and I've got relationships that have, you know, lasted decades and decades, and HR directors that have gone from one company to another that I still do work for, and you develop a friendship and a level of trust and comfort that allows an attorney to be able to, you know, it's almost in some ways like a physician. I mean, you know, I don't always have good news, and when you build that kind of relationship with a client, it's a lot easier to tell them exactly what you think, as opposed to when you just start out and you're thinking to yourself, well, gee, I don't, this really isn't good, and I want to kind of keep them as a client, and maybe I'll, you know, give them a little sunnier version of what the reality is. I think, you know, as a young lawyer, in a lot of places you face that challenge. And I think over time you build up your group of clients, and you're able to look them in the eye and say, hey, this is a fight that this one we're not going to win. Here's our options. They're all lousy. Here's what I think we ought to do.
And with that rapport and that trustworthiness, integrity, they're going to believe you. They won't fight with you as much. Oh, sure, they can ask questions. But, they're, you know, if you say it, they know you're coming from the highest level expertise, the highest level care for them, and the integrity that, hey, you know, you've researched it, you've looked at it, and if this is the case, cut your losses and do what's best overall from the long-term perspective.
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, I just think it permeates everything. I'm just thinking back to my day today, and it started at 8:30 this morning in front of Judge Hagee, and we came across a legal issue that, you know, really none of the lawyers or he had seen before, and you know, instead of advocating, hey, it ought to be this way, you know, he looks at us and says, hey, Mr. Burnick, what do you think? And I said, you know, I've represented this client for 10 years. We've never had this issue before. I don't think there's any law on it out there. Here's what I think. But, you know, it's funny when you look back at what you do all day. It's something that if you're consistent with, I think it helps you with your clients. It helps you down at the courthouse. It helps you with your partners. It helps you with the people who work with you, whether they be the support staff or the younger lawyers.
You know, that's a good point. Consistency, that was a key word, consistency and integrity, honesty, and those criteria. Some of the other criteria we use for listeners to understand is we talked about the character of the owners, management, employees, also an identity, and we talked a little bit about that, expanding your identity from an attorney to a leader, and that's important. Beliefs about best company, best product, best service, that you can make the difference in the lives of others. That's at the belief level. Another set of criteria, attitude. And there's a lot of subcategories to these, but I'm just going to just in general talk about some of the key criteria so listeners, if they have a business, they can strive also to maybe someday win this award. But I'm going to venture to say right now it's about 1% of the companies nationwide, even international, would ever meet all these criteria. Attitude, to serve others, professional, courteous, actively engaged with clients. Skill sets are very important. I mean, peak performance, working above your own self-imposed limitation. For example, people skills, skills of influence, analytical skills. I could go on and on with these criteria as well. Another set is experienced professionals, but not just experience, but combined with wisdom, skill sets, knowledge, and education. And Jeffrey, I mean, let's stop there for a second. I mean, you just don't want an attorney just coming from experience. It's really the quality of that experience that matters.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, in today's market of legal services, I'm a big believer that you ought to hire somebody who really specializes in whatever particular problem you have. I mean, the days of coming out of law school and hanging up your shingle and being able to be a general practitioner, that ship sailed a long time ago. And, you know, I have lots of clients that just use our firm for what I do, and they perhaps use another firm for something and vice versa. I just think that, you know, the sophistication of the legal consumer out there has changed remarkably during the time that I've practiced. And, you know, you're really not going to get the best legal representation you can get unless you go to somebody who does that particular type
of
law.
Specialize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that totally makes sense. Other criteria, behaviors. I mean, this is a good one. Action, not slogan. So many people, you see it on TV, you know, they'll have the slogans, and when you finally meet, whether it's a law firm or something else, they're nowhere near their slogans. They do not demonstrate their slogans. I think that's important. And part of that is a timely response, take responsibility, being accountable. And comment on that a little bit, because it's really what I'm saying is, do you walk your talk?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even think we have a slogan, which makes me happy if that's true.
Well, that's even better, but because you just walk what you would have. But people have slogans, you know. They'll you know, whether it's a website, they'll talk a bit about it. But you know what I'm saying is that
a mission statement.
Well, not a mission.
I guess that's not so much a slogan.
Yeah, it could be part of a mission statement. But do you? In fact, that might be a good example. Do you walk the mission statement? Do you really demonstrate behaviorally what you tell the public? And probably, Carol, you've seen a lot of, I won't mention any names, but advertisements for law firms. And There was one in particular. It's like one of my clients years ago used someone, and it was so different. It's like they say they would do one thing, but they didn't, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I mean, what can you say about that? That's, I guess, no integrity, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I have found – I'm sorry, Carol. I stepped on you. I've found that a huge challenge for any lawyer at any level is managing – the expectations of the client, because people will come in and, you know, sometimes the court system or the legal system doesn't have a remedy for their particular situation, or they can't get what they think they can get. And I think that when you discuss that with them at the initial upfront and give them a realistic idea of what they can expect, I think that goes a long way. Having them walk away from a representation thinking, gee, that guy did right by me, I'd send somebody to him, or if I had another problem, I'd go to him again.
And, you know, that's a key topic or key concept that you just talked about, managing expectations, because you could be, a skilled professional in any industry, but you should know that if a potential client comes in, and they expect something that is just out of – it just will never happen. And if you don't tell them about that, well, think about it. People are either happy or sad based on their baseline, what they expect to happen. They'll be happy if you meet or exceed their expectation. They'll be sad or unhappy, maybe even angry. Maybe hire an attorney. They're so angry. And if you fall below their expectation. So that's a great skill to have as a professional. Are the client's expectations realistic? And Carol, even within the internal structure of the firm, expectations with employees as well. I mean, that's a big part of probably what you do.
Well, that, and also, you know, our clients deal with a lot of our support staff on a regular basis, and we like to manage the client's expectations by returning phone calls and giving them access to their attorney and that sort of thing. So we do talk with our staff about those kinds of expectations, because a lot of times they're the front line. Our front desk is the front line, you know, for many people that call in. So, you know, we definitely have that on our radar.
And you know what? It's funny you say that, because that first contact with your company, your receptionist, in any field is huge. But I can, in the legal industry, their receptionist can make or break you, because I refer my clients to all kinds of people all the time. Being in the mortgage industry for so long, my clients call me for everything. And I've, of course, being in it for so long, I've had several clients that, you know, have had problems with the houses or whatever, you know, when they bought a bunch of investment properties. But I've made some phone calls to their attorneys with them, because they wanted me to help them explain different things about the situation to them and help them understand. And it's funny, because in calling the attorney's offices, of course, I won't mention any names, the first person who answers the phone is rude to us. And I'm like, well, actually, I'm calling because, you know, and you're like, oh, my Gandhi, really? You're the person that answers the phone and represents these people? You know, I need to talk to Mr. So-and-so, like, now. Or, you know what, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to come over there because, actually, you're a half a mile up the street. People need, I mean, again, the receptionist or whoever is answering the phone can make or break you.
Well, it's funny you mention that because I've said this almost every show. I think actually every show, they have the most amazing receptionist.
Nice.
Her name's Carol. It's funny. We didn't even rehearse this.
Right.
And Jeffrey and Carol, you know who I'm talking about.
Of course.
She is amazing. She knows first names. I call in. I don't have to say anything. Oh, Dave, how are you? So cheerful. She is like the ultimate in excellence I've ever seen a receptionist ever demonstrate. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think every business owner right now listening or executive director or manager of HR needs to do a reevaluation of the receptionist like today because it's funny. People forget that the first point of contact.
Yeah.
I mean, you might be the greatest person in service of whatever you do, but if the person answering your calls isn't equally, it's over.
Well, we're lucky because we actually have other law firms call us and ask if they can send their receptionist over to train with our receptionist.
I believe it. I believe it.
Oh, that's incredible.
She's amazing.
She really is. And it makes a difference. I mean, it sounds small, but it's not. It's huge. And it just shows consistency. We started off the show with that, consistency in performance excellence. A company is only as strong as its weakest employee. Think about that. I mean, what does that mean to you? Jeffrey, when I say that a company is only as strong as its weakest employee, if you have a weak link out there, that could hurt a reputation.
Yeah, it really could. It's interesting that as I hear about the receptionist issue, you know, you think about yourself and as a lawyer and the reputation that you've worked decades and decades and all the education to get that person to call in, and maybe they've got a big deal that they want you to represent them on, and the first thing they get is a bad taste in their mouth, and maybe it doesn't happen because of that. It's, you know, it's really it's amazing to think about it in those terms, but I think that in large part it's the reality.
There's no doubt, and I want to give another shout-out, another person named Carol, right here, the best executive director I've ever seen in a law firm, and I've seen a lot of law firms. And Carol, you are amazing. And I'll tell you why specifically, and Jeffrey, you probably already know this, but innovative, creative, and such a pleasant attitude, but the tasks that you have to go through, the skill sets that you have to have, a big law firm like this, coordination, management skills, a whole variety of skills, how do you do it?
Oh, I didn't know you were going to ask me my secret.
Yeah. Give me a partial
recipe. What's with that?
Well, it's really amazing.
No salt.
You know, it's interesting because my original background was in human resources, and then I moved into the legal environment in the human resources capacity many, many, many years ago and moved up through the ranks. And I really think that baseline gave me a great appreciation for the support staff, which is really, I mean, the attorneys are definitely important, but the support staff keeps things humming. And so as long as you can be someone who can motivate, lead, and really appreciate that level of performance, I think you're well on the way to being a success as a legal administrator.
I think we're going to have law firms calling you saying, can you train their executive directors? That's what I think. Why don't we take a quick break right now? And when we come back, we're going to actually present the award here live to Carol and Jeffrey. This is a Breakthrough Thinking. What's up, Phoenix? Starring Chris Gray. We are giving the Standard of Excellence Award. And when I say excellence, I mean excellence to Ridenour, Hyten, and Lewis. We'll go over some of the remaining criteria so listeners can get a sense of what they should be doing to make a difference in the world. We'll be right back.
Ridenour, Hyten, and Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heinten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is What's Up Phoenix, starring Chris Gray, and we are honored to have Jeffrey Burnick and Carol Spivey, Executive Director for Reidenauer, Heighton & Lewis, accepting the Standard of Excellence Award issued by Breakthrough Thinking Radio Show. Sound like Academy Award performance. And accepting the award. This is really good. But, you know, what's interesting is you are recognized by other people as well, other organizations. The U.S. News and World Report. What was that? The best law firm for 2012?
Not the best, but one of the best law firms. And also, we have several attorneys in our organization who are recognized by Best Lawyers as through U.S. News and World Report, and the Southwest Super Lawyers as well. And the Super Lawyers is actually a peer review, so other lawyers have nominated these individuals to become Super Lawyers.
And do we have a Super Lawyer right here in studio?
We do, Mr. Jeffrey Burnick.
Jeffrey, you're a super lawyer, but I knew that, but it means something else in a different context.
So then what they're saying here then, sir, is for 2012, if you need legal assistance, they should be calling your firm.
Yeah, and, you know, the super lawyer thing is kind of cool because it's basically who the lawyers would send their people to if they had a particular problem in this. You know, they do it by practice area.
Wow.
It's neat. We've had a couple of folks get it through the years, and you know, we're proud to accept this award here from the station, and it makes us feel great. And one more plug for my friend Carol here. We're really lucky to have her as our executive director. I've always said this to anyone who would listen. She's really the unsung hero of our group. She has to put up with me and all the other owners and figure out how to make it all work. And it's funny, I was lucky enough to go, we're part of this international law group that has 150 or 200 firms from around the world. I went to this conference in Montreal back in April, and I'm sitting on the bus. You know, we were going sightseeing or something, this whole group, and this guy who I didn't know walks up to me. He's the managing partner of a firm in San Francisco, and he says, "Oh, are you the guy from Phoenix?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, say hello to Carol Spivey for me." It turns out Carol, in a prior life, had been the executive director at that firm in San Francisco. Wow. And he shared with me that she was the very best executive director they have ever had, and I told him the same. So thank you, Carol. You have been awesome on the job, and you've been a great friend to me. So
So not only super lawyers, awesome. Super executive directors we have too.
Yeah, for sure.
That's nice to hear, and it's very noticeable to me as well. I do a lot of dealing, you know, with your firm, and it's just so clear to me. Wow, we only have 3 minutes left. Let me really quickly go over the remaining criteria. Of course, environment, and you have a great environment, great office, Chase Building, right there on almost on Central.
Central and Van Buren. Nice.
Is that 201 North Central?
Right.
That's right. And the other criteria, delivery system, timeliness, as promised, convenient, with a smile. There's a lot more to this. Quality product to service is another category. And if people want more, they can always email me, and I can send them what the criteria is to win this award. But so here's the award. Who should I present it to? Because who would like it first?
Well, I'll give it to Carol.
Okay, Carol. There's the award, and it really states exactly what we talked about. You're more than welcome. Standard of excellence, and that's what every firm should strive for. And to sum this up is that with the clients that are lucky to be part of your firm, to be serviced by you guys, you are also demonstrating excellence to them, not just legal excellence, but to be human excellence, to be a role model for making a difference in the world, and your clients are extremely lucky.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. This really means a lot to the firm, and we'll go back and share it with everyone.
Oh, excellent. And I really appreciate all of you, the entire firm. Now, if people want to get in touch with you, how do they get in touch with you?
They can call Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis, 602-254-9900. They can check out our website at www.rhlfirm.com.
RHL Firm. Good.
Yes.
So they could Google RHL Firm, too.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm.
That's probably
that's what everybody right
does.
Away.
Yeah. You know, and I'd just like to say, too, that, you know, Phoenix appreciates companies like your all's. I mean, that your company is obviously a leader, so we appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
And I would call just to talk to Carol, even. I mean, both Carols. You
but the
or,
other Carol,
but the receptionist.
Especially.
And see if I'm not kidding when I say the receptionist is the best I ever heard of. Just a good human being. That's what makes her great, as well as coordinating quite a growing firm. Thank you, Carol Spivey. Thank you, Jeffrey Burnett, for being here today, accepting the Standard of Excellence Award. And again, one more time, the phone number?
602-254-9900.
Definitely call this great firm, Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis. Chris Gray, thank you. See you next month. This is great. This is What's Up Phoenix, Breakthrough Thinking. Everyone have a great night. We'll see everyone tomorrow for another episode, we'll say, of, that was Chris Gray, by the way, dropping his headset. Tomorrow we have the Bottom Line and the Green Roundtable. Have a great night.
If you would like to hear this program again,